This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Well, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thanks to David Bellavia for the magnificent lead into the show. Now it's my job to go from the great David Bellavia to the semi-mediocre Tom Bowerly, which I accept at this point in my life. David Bellavia, 10 to 2 every day. Make sure you check him out. Anyway, we have a lot of things I hope to get into. There's my qualifier. Hope to get into today. And one of those issues is, of course, the hurricane, which is going to be an absolute beast. It is going to be an absolute monster if all of the prognostications are correct. And I heard on David's show one of his guests talking about the hurricane guys who fly those P-3 aircraft into the hurricanes. And he made it seem like, just a little bit of turbulence. And it's really weird getting into the eye of the hurricane. And I'm sure if you've seen the videos of the hurricane planes, you have said to yourself, wow, wouldn't want to be on that flight, especially in the middle row of the 777. But joining us right now on WBEN, and we'll have Tanner make sure that he's up and ready. Tanner Saunders behind the glass is meteorologist Andy Parker. Andy, I want to thank you for joining us. And by the way, just so you know, Tanner Saunders, by doing the weather forecast on the show to get himself some airtime, he is gunning for your job. So I need you to be at your very, very best today, okay?
Hey, he did a good job. It was all set. No problems.
Okay, well, I didn't want you to feel antagonized or didn't want you to feel like a grizzly was chasing you, but Tanner can be rather voracious at times. Clark Kent on the outside, Superman on the inside, and here's the deal as we talk with Andy Parker. If you have relatives in Florida, if you are listening in Florida, and you have specific questions about the situation involving the hurricane and you, Andy is amazing at just being able to say, okay, at 2:07, you're going to notice the weather doing this. He's uncannily accurate and awesome. And our phone number to get on the air is, obviously, in the 716. It's 803-0930. That's 803-0930. The cell phone number is *930, and the toll-free number, not that anybody uses them anymore, but it's 1-800-616-WBEN, 1-800-616-WBEN. Okay, Andy, let's set the stage. What exactly is going on? Where is it going on? And why are so many people so concerned about this particular hurricane?
All right, we'll knock all of these down. First and foremost, it is out over open water. It's 500 miles away from the west coast of Florida right now. It is just churning and spinning, and yes, they are flying the hurricane hunters in there. Last check was a 1 o'clock flight that made the path through. It detected winds that now put it back up to a category 4. But whether it's a 4, a 3, a 5, out over open water, that's fine. The big question is, what is it going to be when it traverses those 500 miles of open water and connects with the coastline of Florida? And there are about half of the models looking that far ahead show a weakening trend, which is fantastic, which brings it down to a category 3. Others hold it at a 4. Either way, this is not going to dissipate and be a nothing burger. And I think that is taking that off the table. Sometimes there's a lot of uncertainty when it comes to the track of this storm or the intensity of the storm. This is going to be one that will cause a huge amount of damage to a very populated area. And when we start thinking about similarities to other events in the past, you have to go back to the 1920s in this area. I believe they were unnamed at the time, but a storm that took a similar track and then rolled right into Tampa Bay. It brought a 10-foot storm surge, did an incredible amount of damage, basically reconstructed the coastline with all of the storm surge and the erosion, and then pushed salt water inland so far that it destroyed crops. Well, there's no longer crops anywhere near the shoreline of Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, since the 1920s, has become an absolutely metropolis compared to what it was. And when we think about Tampa, and I have relatives down there, I've been there many times, and that downtown area, the way that the storm surge could approach it, it could absolutely inundate a lot of the metro, and some of the nicest homes you'll ever want to live in are very close to the shoreline, and most of them are not prepared for a 10-foot storm surge. That is the worst-case scenario. And the way this comes in is, Tom, when the storm is coming at you, if you're looking at the storm and it's coming in, the worst of it is to your left. And if you're the right side is where the winds aren't as bad, because the side that's coming at you is coming off the water. The winds have nothing to slow it down, no frictional convergence. Whatever the max sustained wind is of the eyewall, that slams into the beach and then swirls around as it begins to kind of scrape through the trees, and there's no mountains down there, but as it slows down, coming back the other way, the frictional convergence or the slowing of the surface winds will at least drop them down a category or two. And then instead of a storm surge, they're going back off the peninsula out over open water. So if you want to be somewhere, if you're looking at the hurricane coming at you, you want to be on its right side, not its left.
We're talking with meteorologist Andy Parker on News Radio 930 WBEN about this hurricane. Many of you have friends and family. Some of you own property down in the Tampa, Florida area. And if you have questions for Andy about this situation, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, hurricanes do some really weird things. And this is, this story may or may not have some scientific significance, but back in September of 2022, Hurricane Ian, this was when the Bills had the heat stroke game in Miami, Hurricane Ian was coming in and noticed a very interesting phenomenon in the waters. One day, absolutely crystal clear, gorgeous, not a bit of seaweed, and the very next day, as the hurricane, even though it was hundreds of miles away, started churning up, the jellyfish were everywhere. They were everywhere, along with a bunch of algae. So I guess my question is, to those people who live along the Gulf Coast of Florida and the Gulf Coast of the United States, this might seem like a stupid question, but can anything be learned by just watching little signs like a sudden influx of jellyfish or a sudden buildup of seaweed on the beach?
Whether in advance of the storm, at that point, it's anything that's washing up there today is going to be gone tomorrow. Right. The arrival of this comes in. Breakfast is when they'll notice some of the outer bands. So not the biggest winds, but you're going to get the lashing of the wind and the water on the outer bands. And then the tropical storm force winds, which is in that 30 to 70 mile an hour range, that's coming in around lunchtime. And between lunch and dinner, and then the biggest gust, the eye wall, that looks like it's going to be an evening arrival, and which is not a great situation. The relatives that I have down there and the folks that live in Florida I've spoken to would much rather have this be a daytime event than a nighttime event, but it doesn't look like it's going to work out that way.
Yeah, I mean, it was, Andy, it was probably a stupid question, but I've always wondered if the change in the beach hundreds of miles away had anything to do with the waters being churned up in the general area, because it was quite dramatic. So let me move on to hopefully what would be a more intelligent question, and that is, as we look at the map of the west coast of Florida. We see familiar names like Newport Richey, where I used to live, Tarpon Springs, the sponge capital of the universe, Palm Harbor, Dunedin, Clearwater, Largo, St. Petersburg, and then, of course, you've got to the south, Bradenton, Sarasota, areas like that. What kind of a geographic window would you point to as scientifically probable points of damage or severe impact?
Yeah, the evacuation zones that Florida has lit up runs almost up to the top of the peninsula, and then down much past Tampa. They're going all the way down to, almost the Keys. It's not quite down there, but it is. I'm looking for a name that would make sense to a lot of people. It's tough to pull one in here, but it's because I've seen a lot of small areas. But it goes well south of St. Pete, almost to where you'd think of like Fort Myers and Sanibel. So it's beyond Tampa. It's in almost the entirety of the West Coast has some evacuation plan. Tampa is the one that has the deepest penetration where they're moving people. They have zones A, B, C, D, and E, and they've essentially lit them all up. My relatives live about 20 miles north of Tampa. They are not in an evacuation zone, but they are battening down the hatches and preparing for whatever gets thrown at them. In addition to the one good thing is the ground speed on this storm is not a crawler. It's a mover, and it's going to come through, and the amount of rain will be significant, 10 inches of rain. But for Florida, a lot of places like that, that's a bad day in the summer. They can get 5 to 7 inches of rain. So the total amount of rainfall isn't the issue. It's the strong winds and, unfortunately, a storm surge that is going to target one of the areas that is probably most ill-prepared to handle a 10 to 15-foot storm surge.
Wow. You're talking about hills earlier and having driven through Florida, as I'm sure many of our listeners have done at one point or another in their lives, maybe the decadent college days, maybe with the grandkids going to one of the theme parks or whatever. Pretty much the only hillier area I found in the state of Florida was Ocala, Florida, which is, that's definitely horse country, and that's kind of way up there. It's just to the south of Gainesville, and coincidentally, of course, the birthplace of former Buffalo Sabre Val James, Ocala, Florida. So the evacuation window, or the evacuation areas that are being targeted right now by the by people being told to get out. We're talking about quite a vast expanse of real estate, Andy.
Yeah, you can go down to, I found it now. It's Marco Island, Naples, yeah. Bonita Springs, Fort Myers Beach. Now you're up to Cape Coral, back through St. Pete, Tampa, and then you're going further north, and you go up to Sarasota, and then it kind of hugs the coastline, the evacuations anyway. But that's where you're going to get the potential for the storm to cross. The big deal is where the center of the eye goes. And the best case for Tampa would be an entry point that would be between Sarasota and Cape Coral. It would be the worst case scenario for those folks, but that is I'll call it a straight shot of shoreline. So there's no inlets there. It's just a long section of beach. And yes, there would be a huge storm surge there. But the problem with Tampa is that it is a bay. It's called Tampa Bay for a reason, and it has a huge inlet, and all of the water would be pushed into there and become trapped. And something like that, like I said, hasn't been realized in that area since almost 100 years to this. So there really is no benchmark for what the damage potential could be, because so much of this wasn't there the last time this happened. So it's hard to even quantify what you're going to see if this thing does push that water into Tampa Bay.
You know, you talk about the storm surge and Tampa Bay basically being from Mother Nature's point of view, its destructive point of view, an ideal place. In a way, you kind of brought back memories of your conversations about the seiches that we have on this end of Lake Erie, as the water just comes in and the water level at the Buffalo end of Lake Erie can rise dramatically in a very short period of time. Compared to a Lake Erie seiche, the potential for storm surge flooding in Tampa. How much worse is it?
Well, they're going to go 10 to 15 feet. The seiches that we get here generally are around 3, maybe a 6-footer. And in that case, it does inundate some shoreline. The waves get bigger, and it's a very temporary thing. It comes in, and then it disappears. It's more of a slosh where it comes in and then begins to pull back fairly quickly, where a storm surge like this has a lot more force pushing it in, and it will be driven further inland, much more than the seiche. Same principle, exact same thing. You have a wind pushing from Cleveland to Buffalo, and it begins to slosh the water this direction. But down there, instead of a 50 or 60 mile an hour sustained winds, you're 150 mile an hour sustained winds. So it's compounded to a point where, you know, it's almost unthinkable when you see how quickly, if you've seen any of the video of how quickly the storm surge from Helene attacked the Big Bend area, where these places on the shoreline that had cameras there were completely dry, just sand. And then all of a sudden that storm surge came in an hour or two and swallowed up not only the cameras, but all the houses there.
Now, the speed with which Mother Nature can act is absolutely astonishing. And Andy, I've told this story on the air before, but in the summertime, and had this happen this past summer, you can be sitting on the Lake Erie shore just enjoying a nice sunny day, and then you'll notice the wind start to pick up just a little bit. Then the wind picks up even more, and you have that innate human survival instinct, or we have got to get back to the house. And by the time you walk the 100 or 200 yards from where you had been seated until you get to the house, suddenly you've got stuff blowing all over the beach, and you're really glad that you made it inside before those killer raindrops, well, not killer, but those rather large, juicy raindrops start to hit. So, and that's just Lake Erie, and that's just a quick summer storm. And we're talking about something that is far bigger and far more horrific in its impact, potentially hitting the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah, this is going to be one that they will do studies on, write books, and probably some songs about it as well, as this thing begins to come in and make its mark as early as tomorrow morning with the outer bands of wind and rain, and then the strongest winds arriving in the second half of Wednesday on the West Coast, and not to mention whatever path of destruction it leaves through Central Florida. I've been in Orlando for a Category 1 hurricane, and it was a daytime event, which was kind of interesting. And it comes in, and when I say it comes in waves, it really does. It's almost in spurts, as you'd see these huge gusts of wind. You'd almost imagine invisible jets of wind just flowing through the atmosphere along the surface of the earth. That's when it grabs the siding off the house. Things get loose in these big gusts, and then the winds will drop down a little bit. And you think, well, you know, okay, we'll walk outside and take a look around. And without any warning, another one of these big gusts of wind comes just roaring through. It'd be awesome if you could put on glasses and you could see these wind gusts that would be revealed, but it's invisible as it just rips through the way it's the circulation. It's something that's unlike what we get up here. I think sometimes we'll get these constant strong winds, but I've never seen anything up here quite as isolated as these jets of wind that come racing through when you're in these degrading hurricanes.
And that was Orlando, and that was just a Category 1 hurricane.
Correct.
To put that in perspective. Andy Parker, meteorologist extraordinaire, is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. You might be listening in Florida. You might have relatives in Florida. You might have questions specific to you involving Milton. And we, of course, have our lines open for your telephone calls. Andy is with us on the Trocare College WBEN live line. The phone number is 803-0930. That's 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. How about the timeline for this thing? We'll get into that and much, much more coming up with meteorologist Andy Parker right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, news time is 2:28.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly and WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. News time is coming up on 2:36. Joining us on the Trocare College WBEN live line, meteorologist Andy Parker, and we're talking about the hurricane, which every eye in the state of Florida is on. Before we go through the timeline in great detail, Andy, when the politicians like the mayor of Tampa say, if you stay in the mandatory evacuation zones, you are going to die. Is that a meteorological fact, or is that hyperbole?
I think it's good advice. And I think in one of those situations when the probability of survival is lower than, if there's a higher chance you're going to die if you stay put, it's the mayor's obligated to come out and say that. Whether everybody in the path is going to end up deceased, I don't think that's the case. Is there a high chance that if you stay put, your life is going to be in danger and you might put rescuers in danger? Absolutely, in this situation. And if that's the rhetoric that it takes some people to kind of get off the fence, then so be it. You're never going to move everybody out of harm's way, but sometimes in order to cut through the clutter and the misinformation and the idea that, well, the last one wasn't so bad, or, hey, the last one missed us. And I think if that's what you have to do to motivate your people to get into their brains and say, this is the real deal, then you have to go there. And this situation does warrant that. It's not there's no crazy Ivan. There's no left-hand turn. When everything lines up like this, the chance that this thing deviates from the forecast course less than 24 hours prior to arrival is almost what you'd call it statistically impossible. It's never deviated to a point where it would miss this area. So it's too late to worry about will it hit. It's when it's going to hit. And I think that that's what they're trying to convey.
And, you know, Andy, in so many ways, what I hear in your voice right now is what Western New Yorkers heard in your voice the week prior to the blizzard of 2022 hitting us with the ferocity and loss of life it did, because you were on the mountains and you were preaching to Western New Yorkers, basically, this is not a drill, this is not hyperbole, this is not overplay, this is the real deal. This will be life-threatening. And no matter how many times we said it, you were on this program the first hour every day the week before our blizzard of 22, and you nailed it. And I don't say that as a, you know, I'm not trying to blow smoke, but point I'm trying to make is when Andy Parker and other meteorologists of high reputation say this is going to be a killer and you got to get away from it, you need to be heard. What you're saying now, I think, has probably taken a lot of people who listened to us then back to the week before the blizzard of 2022, which was every bit as bad and maybe a little bit worse than advertised. And we certainly learned, the politicians, I think, should have learned some lessons from the blizzard of 22 with respect to when you close things down and even activating the emergency alert system. So people people can learn from what happens in other places. And obviously, Florida has been through the hurricane drill, oh, once or twice before. Now, it is, as we speak, 2:39 in New York on the 8th of October, 2024. Can you walk us through the general timeline of Milton and what is going to happen and when it is going to happen?
Yeah, it's 500 miles away. It's a long way away, and people at this point have been seeing some rain showers. But overall, you'd never know that this thing is lurking out there. And now it's going to begin to make its way in. It has been upgraded. The latest hurricane hunters flown through the center of circulation. It deepened. It's back to a Category 4, winds of 150-some miles an hour. It's over open water. It's not affecting anyone at this point. It's going to continue on a path that takes it towards the Tampa area. So when you think of the cone will cover much of western Florida, but the center of circulation, all the consensus is that it's going to arrive on either side of Tampa Bay. And so they're clearing that whole region, because tomorrow the arrival time starts in the morning as far as the outer bands. They'll start to see some of those sweeping arms of rain and wind, not the biggest winds, but just storms. And then it'll clear out, and then another band will come through. And then as the center of the storm arrives during the afternoon and into the early evening, those waves become closer and closer, and they more frequent. And then it's almost a constant wind and rain, and it will envelop a huge chunk of that area. It's about 100 miles wide where you have the hurricane force winds, and that will collide with the coastline, initially pushing water up over the shoreline to the tune of a 10 to 15 foot storm surge. Mm. And then you have the winds that will plague the areas of the coast and then inland all the way to central portions of Florida at a lesser degree. But if it comes in at a Category 4 with winds of 150 miles an hour, when you think about the damage that is done during the late afternoon, right on through the overnight on Wednesday night into Thursday morning, the term catastrophic comes out, because over a century, each of these storms have been looked at, and they'll look at a Cat 3 compared to a Cat 4, and a Cat 3 will snap the trees, and there's power outages and disruptions. Category 4 is another level where it begins to rip at the structures of buildings, and walls that seem solid aren't at that level. And if it gets to a 5, when we think about what Andrew did to southern Florida, that was a level where even solid structures won't hold up to that type of wind force. And so that's why it's a huge difference to go from a 3 to a 4. Instead of storm surge and a lot of tree and power, it goes from storm surge, tree and power, to structures being damaged on a very large scale. So when you see, well, is it a 3 or is it a 4? Trust me, a 3 to a 4 is a big jump in what's going to happen down there. And unfortunately for them, it's going to come in the second half of the day. So it's likely going to do a lot of its damage across Florida during the nighttime, which is, I think, more ominous for people. I know my parents are down there, and they're not looking forward to the night. They much rather have this happen during the day so that anything that does occur, they could then deal with. But overnight, it just becomes more problematic for people. And to be quite honest, it's more scary when you live through one of these things at night than it is during the day.
I can believe that. Andy Parker, meteorologist, is with us on the WBEN Trocare College live line, talking about the hurricane that is bearing down on Tampa, Florida. Our phone number is 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, news time is coming up on 2:44. Now, you are a big believer in probabilities and modeling, because that's a very important part of your job. What are the probabilities of this being a Category 5 when it makes landfall, or a Category 4, or a Category 3? Have you done the math?
At this point, what we're trusting is some of the forecast models, and as it gets closer and closer, there's two camps. One of them is where it will hold its Category 4 and teeter on a 5 as it arrives at the coastline. The others are beginning to start to collect more members, if you will, voting members of the computer brains, if you all the models that run, there's probably 30 different what you call recognized, reputable models that get run by universities, by other governments, by ours, and they put them out, and you see they're called the spaghetti maps, where you see all the lines, and they all kind of start to collect in one spot. Not only do they collect on one spot for location, but they'll also give you information on intensities and what they feel. And so more and more of the members of the computer models are starting to lower the intensity back to a 3 as it edges near the coast. And that would be the best case scenario right now. There's no real scenario where this thing drops down to a 2 or 1 and they escape without an issue. At this stage of the game, it looks like it's coming in at a 3 and then hopefully not a 4 along the coastline. And that's where we're at. When it gets to this stage of the game, a lot of the speculation is gone, where a week ago people were putting out maps and said, oh, this could happen, that could happen. Well, we're at the spot where it is happening. And when you're less than 24 hours out on the arrival, that's when this thing has kind of picked its path. And now we're kind of watching the open water out in front of it and seeing how much atmospheric juice it can suck up and continue to go over before it contacts landfall. Because once these things go over land, they typically begin to lose strength pretty rapidly and unfold, if you will. And we'll have to see what happens when it pops out the other side of Florida as well.
And Andy, you know, one of the variables, if you will, that the computer models can't take into account in terms of forecasting, the demographic models. And what I mean by that is the state of Florida obviously has a lot of retired or elderly people, and they're not as agile or able to get themselves out of harm's way as somebody who is in the peak of life and prime of condition. And that has got to be a huge concern anywhere along that west coast of Florida.
Yeah, the age of the residents down there, as you know, does skew a little higher. My folks are in their upper 70s and low 80s, and, you know, throwing everything in the car and just driving out wasn't as good of an option as kind of staying where they are. They're not near the coast. They're inland. It's going to be a bumpy ride. It's not a free ride just because you're 20 miles inland. They could have structural damage. Tornadoes are spawned from this. They're in a spot that doesn't have a real flood threat. So they're really under the gun for the wind and then also any of the tornadic activity that comes through, because this does spawn tornadoes on top of it as these things come through.
And hopefully the warnings and the evacuation suggestions or orders have come early enough that the infrastructure of the Tampa Bay area can handle the evacuation properly. When I lived down there in 1989, basically the north-south route from Newport Richey to St. Petersburg was Route 19, which was essentially one traffic light after another. They've since modified it, so it's much easier in terms of ingress and egress between those two areas. But the traffic situation, the gasoline situation, the fuel situation, the broken down cars, all of these things need to be factored in. And Andy, with the weather, with the hurricane and its potential for the damage that can be done, we communicate these days electronically via cell phone for the most part, and I've got to imagine that a lot of cell phone towers are going to take serious hits and communications will be grievously affected by this storm.
Yeah, that's what happened with Helene. One of the things that happened with the cell towers, they either lost power or they were knocked out, and you created these black holes where you'd only go down to one bar here and maybe you've got service there. It became very spotty or non-existent. In North Carolina, the western portion of the state, it was kind of spotty to begin with, and then that became just a complete black hole. The coverage in Tampa is very good. It's a very modern city. But even still, I think what you're going to find is communication difficulties as people begin losing power for longer periods of time. And generally, people will have a UPS, something to keep their computer running for an hour. Maybe you've gone out and invested in one of those larger ones that'll give you maybe 6 hours on a computer. But when you start thinking that you might be out of power for days, those aren't going to get you through the entirety of the outage. So I think you're right. That communication, power, getting potable water to people, there will be an effort down there. And that state does know how to handle hurricanes. Their response is second to none, and that goes straight to the top. The governor is out in front of each and every one of these that I've seen come through.
And don't anybody ever underestimate the importance, even in 2024, of shortwave radio communication in disaster situations like what is probably about to unfold in Florida. WBEN Arthur Pressman, Traffic Attorney, News Time is coming up on 2:50. And on the Trocare College WBEN live line, meteorologist Andy Parker is with us on WBEN. You know, Andy, I was reading some information last night on weather modification. And our country actually is one of many countries that has signed international deals basically saying we will not engage in weather modification for military purposes. So if we signed a treaty, I have to believe that weather modification is a real thing, most commonly and frequently used in cloud seeding to try to break up some drought-stricken areas. Have we, or are we anywhere close to reaching a point where hurricanes can be deflected or weakened in strength using some kind of weather modification?
Yeah, this has come up a couple times in conversation where social media, again, has been instigating some theories that that some of these hurricanes were growing in size and shape, and the location that they were formed were in some ways enhanced or altered by man. And to put that into perspective, I think you'd have to lodge that in the same category as they faked the moon landing. And while, yes, it's true that you can modify the weather by cloud seeding, that's been around since the 1940s, it was never perfected to the point where it could end up producing predictable results, where, or I should say manageable results. It's predictable. It will cause some rain to happen, just not in the spots that you always wanted it. It might happen downstream or in a different place and come up with unexpected results. They were testing this off the coast of Florida, trying to instigate convection to kind of preempt areas that were sea surface temperatures had gotten very warm, so they wanted to put some thunderstorms to stir it up and test it out, and it was successful that they were able to create some storms. But when it comes to saying how could we kill this thing from the inside out, that technology isn't there. I've heard the stories of, well, they're shooting laser beams and energy pulses, and HAARP is responsible for this. Again, that is kind of out there science, and that in order to do something on this scale, that kind of science, I've seen or heard nothing that could even bend a hurricane, let alone start to kill it from within.
Yeah, I mean, I was just more interested in the idea that at some point, maybe in the not-too-distant future, we may be able to diffuse these things using technology that is under development, or may be, you know, may go from science fiction to reality, if not overnight, over a period of time. So that was something that I definitely wanted to ask you. You know, do you see anything that could mitigate these things in the not-too-distant future? But you're not seeing it.
Not anything that they could do it today. But I know that, again, some of these colleges and universities, and there was even a private enterprise that would fly their planes out over portions of the Caribbean and then begin seeding, and they could create storms that would then disturb the surface of the Caribbean, and then it would remove some of the warm water on top and stir it up so that the warm water wasn't available to the hurricanes as they came through. And if they did that at scale, if you went out and you had sea surface temperatures of 92 degrees in the Gulf of Mexico, and you went and kind of created turbulence that took that and mixed it out so you didn't have that huge amount of energy just waiting on the surface, potentially you could change a path of the hurricane. But then you're fighting upper level winds and a number of other things. It's a huge uphill battle. I don't think we're there yet.
Well, and I just want you to note that I did not ask if this hurricane was likely to affect the UFO bases in the water off the coast of Florida. I did not ask you that question.
Those are unaffected. Those are unaffected. They're at depths unknown.
Andy Parker is with us, meteorologist on the Trocare College live line. Give us a best-case scenario with Hurricane Milton.
A best-case scenario, this I like, is that it would go south of Tampa Bay. Now, that's not great news for Naples and Marco Island and those areas. They would take the brunt of it. Someone is going to get hit. But if you had to say what's the best-case scenario for Florida, you bring the onflow winds, the onshore winds, to the least populated areas, the areas that are most capable of absorbing that storm surge and that onset of strong winds. Then the winds would swirl and come back on an easterly path from east to west, and they would push out of Tampa Bay. And so that would actually reduce the water in Tampa Bay, pushing it out towards the ocean. Yes, there would be some winds. There's going to be power outages. If it came at a Cat 3 and did that, I think that would be the path of least destruction and disruption. It would go through the most unpopulated area of Central Florida, missing population centers like Orlando, and then by the time it got to the other side, it would be a significant storm with some damaging winds. But I think that is the best case. If you were to draw this up and say, how can we get this through with the least amount of problems, that's what you want. Worst case scenario is the eye wall going just to the north of Tampa, bringing the massive storm surge and winds right through the metro of that major city.
Yeah, that's, you talk about places like Ybor City, known for its vibrant culture and Cuban sandwiches. And let's just hope they can avoid the worst of it and we have a minimum of loss of life and secondarily loss of property. Andy, just really a quick question. I've got about a minute. If this thing hits and it's huge, how about structures like the Sunshine Skyway Bridge or large buildings like the skyscraper, if you will, of Tampa?
Let's talk about the causeways. Those are the ones that sit right on the water. Those are gone. 10-foot storm surge will take those out. Not only that, in the waves. You think about some of the larger bridges, and those may survive. I think the winds are, they're rated for that type of situation. They're tall enough to deal. But I do think you're going to get broken windows on some of the larger structures in Tampa just from the debris that's blowing around, and I don't think it's going to topple any buildings, but they'll be it will look otherworldly if that rolls right through the center of town.
Indeed. Andy, as always, we are indebted to you for your time and expertise. Much appreciated. And if people want to sign up to be a part of Andy's world, how can they do that?
All you got to do is send a text to 503-ANDY. That's 716-503-2639. 503-ANDY. Just type the word weather, and then you'll be hooked up for whatever comes our way.
Andy Parker, as always, a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
You got it, Tom.
257 at News Radio 930 WBEN.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.